start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. You are not impressed by what I do for you or what I can bring to you. You are not interested in religious and pious platitudes. I have proclaimed you to everyone I know. I share the truth of your love and grace. Amen. This next song was written while in the throes of the Great Depression and two world wars. And it was written in 1930 by Harry Emerson Fosdick. And it was the first hymn sung at the dedication of the Riverside Church in New York City. And he had a call of social justice. He worked with the poor and the poverty. And this is the song he wrote. So it's interesting to know those words as we sing with our hearts. This day that you have set apart and called the Sabbath. You have called us to be here, to praise you, to be encouraged by one another, and to lay aside all the things that are so heavy to carry and lay them aside and say, Lord, we are here to worship you. We are here to praise you. We are here because you have called us. Thank you for that, Lord. I do ask, Lord, that we would be refreshed. Lord, whatever we came in with, and as we sit here in your presence, I do ask, Father, that you would lighten the load, hear our prayers, and may we know that you are with us. And as the song says, Lord, grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the living of these days. grace and mercy. The Lord, we just lift up the rest of this service and ask that you would be with us. And we pray as you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will pray for the offering. Lord, thank you for this offering that we bring. May we give with cheerful hearts, and may we know that we can never outgive you. Thank you for what you lavishly give to us. Join with the Spirit song, and this was written in 1979 by John Wimber, and he was pastor of the Vineyard Church. He preached intimacy with God rather than religious habit and discipline, and he put these words on paper for us to sing with our hearts.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother in Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace. peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Is a book that Paul addresses the church he was at for a year and a half, and he was addressing the struggles that were within the church. Imagine that, a church struggling. But Paul addressed, because there was a lot of issues that were coming up. And he describes in verse 1 to be apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And in that verse, he was setting up his authority so they knew that he had some answers to what they were going through. The definition of an apostle is, in a general sense, one who is sent by another to fulfill a specific task, or especially to deliver a message on their behalf. Paul and the 12 disciples had the specific role to carry the good news to the world. He also mentions, let's see, in the verse 1, our brother Sosthenes. He was head of the synagogue in Corinth. Some believe that Sosthenes had a conversion experience much like that of Paul, because there is a Sosthenes known to have taken Paul to court to try to shut him down. And some commentaries believe it to be the same man. If indeed it is the same man, Paul is building him up. In some versions, he's called my brother. As people had to learn to trust Paul after his conversion experience, he's talking about the partnership and sharing with Sosthenes. Both Paul and Sosthenes knew the forgiveness and grace of God. And I have to ask myself, do I know that grace and that forgiveness? Do we? God was able to use their gifts because of the depth of God's grace. Both Don and I don't stand up here because all of our T's are crossed or all our I's are dotted. But it's by the grace of God. We can go before God and say, we're not worthy to do this. But we understand the grace, and we know the power and the knowledge of who he is. And And in knowing that, we can stand firm. Just as Moses in Exodus 3, verses 11 and 12, when he was called, Moses felt like he was a nobody and totally inadequate to do what God was calling him to do. Say this every time I preach, but I would be honest, writing sermons is hard work. You wrestle with the text and you ask God for the wisdom, and you know there's a heaviness in a good way that goes with it. And yet in verse 9, God says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do as he says and has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So by the grace of God, we do and we go. Don also shared, I'm not exactly sure if he shared this here last week, but Don shared in one of his sermons that the biggest waste of stewardship in the church today, did he say that? Yeah. Is not the use of money, but in the lack of use of people's spiritual gifts. I found this from Augustus that moved me. And it says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress, helpless I look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, shared in verse 7. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end. He has invited us together to be the church, to pass on this good news. I would like to read this text from the Message Bible written by Eugene Peterson. Sometimes when there's a verse and I just don't understand it, I pull out my Message Bible, and it really helps give a lot of clarity. I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus the Messiah according to God's plan, along with my friend Sosthenes. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth. Believers cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include in my greeting all who call out to Jesus wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. May just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. I tremble in your presence, Lord. This good news, and it's by Eugene Peterson, who also wrote the Message Bible, and it's called On Living Well. And he found this fable and says, this is a summary of the Christian faith. One recalls a short fable. Two frogs fell into a jar half full of cream. One frog soberly appraised the situation, realized struggle was useless, put its little fingers together, and drowned. The other frog was not so intellectual and did not stop to analyze the situation. Since it did not have the same information as the other frog, it went on struggling for its life. The rapid strokes of the frog's hands gradually thickened the cream and created a lump of butter. The emotional frog crawled onto the solid lump and jumped out of the jar. As Eugene said, I can bear witness that people can experience the deepest kind of humiliation and rejection and still have life make sense because God worked in them. I can bear witness that the suffering Jesus experienced and confronted didn't produce a depressed man, but rather resulted in the gospel. The good news. Amen. And it reminds me of a verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9, that says, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When our hearts are fully committed, we are strengthened by each other's gifts. So together, we can accomplish God's mission. Together, we grow in community. I read this joke, is what they said, and it was from Brennan Manning's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, and it's called Good News for the Bedraggled, Beat Up, and Burnt Out. I love Brennan Manning's books. He was a recovering alcoholic who was also a priest and found God in the struggle, in the darkness, in the change, in the healing. He saw God in each step. of sharing God's love, mercy, and grace with others. Amen. If you would stand, we're going to sing Bind Us Together. And this was written by Bob Gilman. He was seeking unity amidst theological and liturgical diversity in 1974. He is from East London, and he saw, this was in the beginning, well, not the very beginning, but it was the charismatic movement, and he saw it just taking everybody in so many different directions. These are, no, you have to speak in tongues, and no, you have to do this. And he was in a worship service, and as he was worshiping, this song came to him, and these are our words. Extravagantly. Live by God's word, avoiding lies and violence. Walk in God's paths and never stray. And may God's wonderful love be with you everywhere. May you feed and care for those around you as Christ feeds and cares for you with his body and word. And may the Holy Spirit